up a kitchen chair. There's music in the making, and we hope to see you there. Gather round your radio, we can chat about our doings as friends and neighbors get together to play a few old tunes. Local folk on the radio, it's time to listen in. Local folk on the radio, let their music news begin.
Welcome to the premier broadcast of Local Folk, brought to you by the Central Indiana Folk Music and Mountain Dulcimer Society. We'll be broadcasting from the front porch every month, featuring local folk performers, festivals, and schedules, as well as information from those around the state. And now, our show's host, Phil Slates.
Thanks, Ruth. On this broadcast, we'll be talking with nationally known but locally grown dulcimer composer and player, Tal Glazner, as well as listening to some of his music. Also, we'll hear from various society members about the reasons they enjoy folk music. Stay tuned, it's all coming up next.
Hello, my name is Ruth Slates, and I'm president of the Central Indiana Folk Music and Mountain Dulcimer Society, who's bringing you the Local Folk program. The society was founded in 1971 by an informal group of musicians and music lovers. Now 40 years old, the group has grown and includes all ages and levels of music ability within our membership. The society meets once a month to share our love of traditional music. We play and sing all kinds of folk, gospel, and traditional songs. Everyone's welcome to bring an instrument and join the group, or if you don't play an instrument, just bring your voice or your love of good music. We play acoustic instruments, including but not limited to the mountain and hammer dulcimer, guitar, banjo, mandolin, fiddle, bass, harmonica, auto harp, and rhythm instruments. All levels of playing ability are welcome. In addition to opportunities to play and listen to great music, the Society offers a variety of workshops and guest performers at meetings throughout the year. Everyone's welcome. The only requirements and interest in traditional music. This is a great opportunity to meet other musicians and share songs, stories, and fun. Please go to our website for additional information and what's upcoming in our meetings and performances, www.indianafolkmusic.org. Thanks so much and enjoy the show.
We recently were lucky to catch the very busy Tal Glazner to share a few words with us. He's a noted dulcimer player, composer, teacher, and performer. Let's head out to the front porch and talk with Tal.
Thank you.
You just heard Tull's version of the Dixie Hoedown.
Welcome to the show, Tull.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Appreciate your time. Can you tell us a little bit about how Halfway Home got started?
Yeah, there was three of us. You mentioned John Hall and Molly McCormick and myself. And John at the time was living in Crittenden, Kentucky, and Molly lives in Louisville. And the three of us had gotten together at various music festivals over time, and we decided that we'd like to try to do that a little bit more regularly. But since we were so spread out geographically, it was a little tough to get together. But it turns out that John has an uncle who lives in Seymour, Indiana, which is just about halfway between at least Indianapolis and Louisville, and at the time that was about halfway for John as well. So the three of us used to meet in Seymour about once a month or so to get together to play, and just kind of evolved from there.
So everybody was halfway to
We were halfway from home. That's where the name came from, too.
All righty. Well, how did you learn to play and about the Mountain Dulcimer?
I guess I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's actually I am originally from Western New York, outside of Buffalo, New York, and played piano, took the obligatory piano lessons for years when I was a kid, and then played different brass instruments mostly all through high school and college. But I had never seen or heard of a mountain dulcimer before. I moved to Indiana, and one year a friend of mine gave me a mountain dulcimer as a present, and I didn't know what to say. I looked at it, and it had three strings and half the frets of what I thought a real instrument ought to have, and I thought it was just a toy. And so I thanked the person very much and put it in the back of my closet and didn't think about it for a couple of years. And then
really, how many years did you have it?
I had it for 3 years before I did anything at all with it. And the thing that made me get it out was I happened to be over at Eagle Creek Park one weekend just riding my bike over there. And there was a big crowd of people over in the old amphitheater over there. And I went over to check out what it was. And it happened to be the Central Indiana Folk Music and Mountain Dulcimer Society's annual festival that they have over there in the park. And that year, they had invited a couple of guest artists from California to come and do some workshops and concerts, and that was Robert Force and Al Doshe, two of the pioneers of the dulcimer world, and they were at the forefront of the revival. I think they used to describe themselves as ex-hippie guitar players who turned to the dulcimer back in the late 70s they had started playing. And so I stopped to listen to them for a while, and when I heard the sound that they could make with that instrument, I knew it wasn't just a toy. So I went home and dug the instrument out of the closet, and at that time, this was probably 1986 or 87, something like that, there was an organization here in Indianapolis called Free University, and people would just kind of volunteer to teach classes in various kind of hobby-type activities. And there was a woman named Cindy Foley, also one of the founding members of the Folk Society, who was offering classes through Free University to beginning mountain dulcimer classes. So I went and took some lessons from her for 6 weeks and just haven't put it down much since.
What is it that you enjoy? I see you said you heard a folk music group, and that's started you on your path here, but what do you enjoy most about folk music?
There aren't really any rules. I think that's the most freeing thing about it. When I mentioned, you know, I took piano lessons for years when I was a kid, and then I also played in different bands and orchestras all through high school and college, and there was always, you know, a pretty strict regimen about, you know, how things had to be played. There was just a piece of music that was put in front of you, and there was technique that you had to learn, and there was definitely a right way and a wrong way of doing things, and you couldn't stray very much, you know, off the page. You know, you pretty much had to stick with what was on there, and I did enjoy that, you know, up to a point, but it's part of really why I like writing arrangements and now, because it's there's a little bit more creativity to that side of the music. And folk music just kind of it's a constantly evolving thing. If you listen to five or six different people play their versions of some standard fiddle tune, you're going to hear five or six, you know, different ways to do it, and it's wonderful, all the variety that you can get that way, and that's what I really enjoy about it.
All right. people might wonder where our listeners could go if they wanted to purchase some of your books or your CDs.
Well, I do happen to have a website, which is www.tullglazener.com. It's TullGlazener. And I have all my products up there if anyone's interested.
We'll return to our interview with Tull Glazener in just a moment. But first, some of our society members would like to share with you what they enjoy most about being a member. I'm talking today to Gary Ryder, a member of the Central Indiana Folk Music and Mountain Dulcimer Society. Gary, how did you first find out about the society and become a member?
I think I probably found a link to the society's website from another folk music-related website here in Central Indiana. And I'm one of the newest members. I just joined in the fall of 2010. Came out to my first meeting and signed up.
What do you like most about the society?
A couple of things. Certainly, it's one of the greatest audiences if you want to try out a new technique or a new song, or just if you're new at playing an instrument and you'd like to get up and do one number. And the level of interest, some of the activities, and the common interest in folk music and American music.
Hello, my name is Betsy Wilson, and I have been a member of the Central Indiana Folk Music and Mountain Dulcimer Society for 31 years now.
Yeah, you got the membership award at the Eagle Creek Festival last year, right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, and how did you first become a member?
My husband got me involved in this. I met him about 33 years ago, and he started me coming to the Dulcimer Society, and then I had to learn to play a musical instrument, so I made a dulcimer that the kids gave me and learned how to play a dulcimer, and I've been coming back ever since.
Okay. What do you like most about being a member?
I think it's the people and the music, both of them together. They're inseparable. I have very good friends, and place to play that isn't really a lot of pressure. It's just fun. Everybody seems to appreciate what you do.
And now back to our interview with Tull Glazener.
Here's Tull playing some Deep River Blues.
Let it pour, let it rain a whole lot more, 'cause I got those deep river blues. Let it rain, drive right on, let the waves just roll along, 'cause I got those deep river blues. When I'm my old gal, she's named Sam, but sometimes I wonder if she's my pal, when I've got those deep river blues. And ain't nobody ever cries for me. All the fishes go out on spree when I got those deep river blues. Let it rain a little bit. Won't you let it rain, let it pour, let it rain a whole lot more, 'cause I got those deep river blues. Let it rain, drive right on, let the waves just roll along, 'cause I got those deep river blues. Let me see if I can play it here, Tom. Give me back my old boat, I just wanna see if it will float, 'cause I got those deep river blues. And if that boat sinks on me, well, I go down now, don't you see, 'cause I got those deep river blues. Let it rain here now. Won't you let it rain, let it pour, let it rain a whole lot more, 'cause I got those deep river blues. Let it rain, drive right on, let the waves just roll along, 'cause I got those deep river blues. Try it there, Tom. old town, do a little singing, playing around, 'cause I got those deep river blues. I love guitar and dulcimer, they sound good together, that's for sure, 'cause I got those deep river blues. Let it rain here now. Won't you let it rain, let it pour, let it rain a whole lot more, 'cause I got those deep river blues. Let it rain, drive right on, let the waves just roll along, 'cause I got those deep river blues. Take it home, won't you, will you?
You were featured recently on Public Broadcasting's Sound Medicine Show. Could you share some thoughts about the healing properties of music?
Yeah, they did a segment on music and healing recently, and I am not a trained music therapist by any means, but I have experienced the healing properties of music just in my own life. And I had a recent experience where my father was in the hospital. And it was his end-of-life period, and I spent a couple weeks with my dulcimer at his bedside, pretty much. And it was a calming experience, both for him and for me. It somehow was able to transport you, you know, back to a time that you connect with the music. At first, I thought that was something that would, you know, would be pretty private and shared between, you know, my family and myself. But I noticed a couple times when, like, if I had to step out of the room for a little while, I'd go down to the patient's waiting area and I might start playing a little bit in there. And oftentimes, family members from other patients in the hospital would hear that and they would ask, would you be able to come down and play for our loved one in this room? They think that they really enjoy this. And so it was. So I learned through that experience that it's something that's shared among a lot of people. And the other experience I had one time, this was a number of years ago, one of the groups I play with used to play at nursing homes quite a bit. And we were at a nursing home here in Indianapolis one time, and they brought a bunch of patients down into the common area where we were set up to play. And there was one woman in particular, they brought her down in a wheelchair, and she was not responsive at all, had a pretty flat affect, and really wasn't, didn't look like she was really there mentally, but she was there, didn't react to anything in the concert we played for 35, 40 minutes. I don't think I saw her move or change facial expressions one time until the very end. We played Amazing Grace, and that woman started singing. And wow. As soon as we started playing, she sang at the top of her voice, knew all the words, and then as soon as we stopped, she went back to her flat affect again. But it just shows that there's something primal about music, that we're just kind of wired to respond, and there's still something that music can reach in a lot of cases, even when other forms of communication are no longer available.
Yeah, you must have touched a place there in that way.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing when you experience that sort of thing.
Well, that's cool. Finally, I know we've mentioned Halfway Home. Are there other performing entities that you participate in?
Well, nothing as regular, probably, as Halfway Home. I have been a member of the Family Reunion String Band for, we just finished, Jerry Graves, the woman who leads that band, just had her finished her 35th year at the Indiana State Fair. And so I've been playing with that group not quite that long, 26 or 27 years now, I think.
That's a career.
And yeah, pretty much. And another good friend of mine named Jim Sperry, and I have been playing music together for quite a few years, and we still do that occasionally. And then I travel around and play at a lot of festivals, and another good friend of mine named Guy George, who's a wonderful musician. He plays hammer dulcimer and saxophone and steel drum, and whenever he and I get together at festivals, we always try to play some tunes together as well. So.
I understand you're teaching a group here in the Indianapolis area.
Yeah, there's a subgroup of the Central Indiana Folk Music and Mountain Dulcimer Society. We call ourselves the Dogs. Dog stands for the Dulcimer Only Group. And I think at one point we thought maybe we should call ourselves the Lap Dogs to distinguish us from the Hammer Dulcimers.
Okay.
Lap Dulcimer is another name for this instrument. And we meet a couple times a week, a couple times a month, at the Robin Run Community Center. And it's just a way to kind of practice playing in an ensemble setting for mountain dulcimers. And it's also a good chance for me to test out some of my new arrangements. So I appreciate that as well.
All right. Well, we've been talking with Tull Glazner, a dulcimer player from Indianapolis. He's a member of, among other things, a folk trio known as Halfway Home. More information can be found at www.tullglazner.com. That's www.tullglazner.com. Tull, thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you again. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
I'm talking today to Dave Silk, one of the society members. Dave, how did you first become a member?
Well, actually, I started playing in 1984 at the State Fair in the Pioneer Building. That's where I first came to learn about it, and I just got up on stage with them and started playing. I've been a member since 84.
Well, great. So what do you like most about being a society member?
Well, obviously the thing I love the most is folk music, but alongside of that, maybe equal to it, is the people. It's got the nicest bunch of people I've ever met. They've become my extended family.
Do you and Sam?
Yeah.
Your playing partner these days?
Yeah.
Although you and Bunny play together quite a bit, right?
Yeah. My wife and I play together a lot. But Sam and I together are known as Biscuits and Bagel.
Yeah, you started out as Sam and Dave, and then you kind of had to get your own niche.
Right. He's the biscuit, and I'm the bagel.
There you go.
So I'm from the New York area. He's from Shoals, Indiana.
So that's how the two of you perform together, huh?
Well, we've been playing together for years, but I suggested that name. He liked it, and we went with it a couple of years ago.
Sounds good. Anything else you want to share about being a society member?
If you're starting out in folk music and you're a little nervous and all, this is the most forgiving audience I've ever played for.
Hello, Ruth Slates again, president of the Society. In addition to our monthly meetings, we sponsor the Eagle Creek Folk Festival each year. In 2011, we will be hosting our 37th annual Eagle Creek Folk Festival. This two-day event is held each summer at Eagle Creek Park in Indianapolis and is free with admission to the park. The festival is an opportunity for society members to showcase their talents as well as share featured performers and our love of traditional music with the community. The Society also provides groups, both large and small, to perform through the stated variety of events, including country fairs, county fairs, community festivals, retirement and nursing homes, libraries, schools, and church events. Performances can be arranged by visiting our website, www.indianafolkmusic.org, and clicking on the link.
Thank you all for listening. Our next broadcast will feature information on the performers who will be attending the Louisville Dulcimer Society's 25th Annual Ohio Valley Gathering. And we'll also feature our society member, Gary Kaiser, a known folk guitarist in the area. So thank you for listening to Local Folk.